verse 5 down to 12. Romans 14, verse 5. A one man esteemeth another day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Very important. Don't believe a thing we say unless you're fully persuaded in your mind. Now, laziness doesn't justify yourself, but make sure you search it out. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Very important verse. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us understand these words. I pray you'd help us realize the influence that we have on others. Help us to do what we can to be a witness to others. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7 says, no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. Everybody here has influence. We influence somebody. Somebody, everybody has somebody looking up to them. Now, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So we're being watched by God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He keeps track of the words we say, the thoughts we think, the acts that we do. And we're going to give an account of that at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're saved, if you're lost, you're going to give an account of that at the white throne judgment. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9, Paul wrote, for I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Not only is God watching you, but the world's watching you. World meaning unsaved people, carnal Christians. They watch you like a hawk. If you have been a witness for Jesus Christ, you have just built up a glass wall around you. It'll be magnified, and now they will look at you very closely. If you're a Bible believer, the fundamentalists and the Pharisees and evangelicals and Bible carriers, they will look at you with a very careful examination. And so a person has to know what they're looking for. Obviously, they're usually looking for the wrong things sometimes, but there are some things they're hitting the right. I visit jails on usually every Saturday, and I've discovered that in jail there's two things those men respect, and that's a sense of humor and innocence. Pedophiles get beat up and often killed in jail. The first priest that got all these lawsuits going, he got axed in jail. That's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. I mean, all the boys that he messed around with, Jesus said he should have had a public drowning. That's what the Lord said. But you see, they respect innocence and a sense of humor. That's what they respect. Now, the Indians say that you shouldn't judge a man until you've walked in his moccasins. And so, in order for you and I to be good witnesses of Jesus Christ, we have to look through the eyes of the world. What are they looking for in us? What are they looking for? Now, generally, the world has higher standards for Christians than Christians do, often. They look to see if we're honest, if we live a clean life, if we have a humble attitude. But actually, really what they're looking for their own benefit. They look for things to kind of pick on you, but they are looking for some things for their own benefit, and what they're looking for is love, joy, and peace. That's what they're looking for. When a young kid gets drunk, he thinks he's having fun. He's looking for happiness. When the older ones get drunk, what are they getting drunk for? They're looking for peace. They're trying to drown their sorrows. Why? Because somebody who they thought loved them wronged them. That's what it is. Love, joy, and peace. That's what people are looking for. Person, play, whatever. Some people try to find happiness through their career. Some try to find it through money. Some try to find it through drugs. Some try to find it through religion. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for happiness. The younger generation is usually the happiness side, fun side. The older generation, they've been reaping so many rotten crops from the fun side, now they want peace. Just back off. Let me have some peace. So that's what they're watching for. They're looking for love, joy, and peace. Those three areas. In Luke chapter 24, you remember that story about Jesus talked to a couple of those guys who were walking the road to Emmaus, and they got talking about the events of the week, and he started answering some questions about the Bible. And then it says in Luke 24:28-29, it says that he made as though he was going further. Meaning they were going to go to their house for the evening, and Jesus Christ made it like he was going another direction or further. And it says that they constrained him to come with them. Why? God wants what you and I want. He wants to be voluntarily loved. And that was his way to find out. Love is often used as compassion. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is Psalms 142, verse 4, where it says, "No man cared for my soul." Another sad one is in Isaiah 59:16, when the Lord was getting ready to destroy Jerusalem, or Israel, the nation of Israel, or Judah. It says that he was looking for an intercessor, and it said that he wondered that there was no intercessor. That surprised God that nobody cared. In Ezekiel 22:30, the Lord said, "I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap." And he says, "And I found none." That's where America's getting. People don't care. People don't care. Do you care for your unsaved loved ones? Do you care for them? Look at them. Care for them. You say, well, they're ignorant. All of us are ignorant. Hebrews chapter 5. You say, they've done dumb stuff, so have I. Hebrews 5, it says about our Lord Jesus, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way?" Boy, I thank God for that. Jesus Christ has compassion on the ignorant. Boy, that's compassion on a lot of people, isn't it? That puts us all in there. If ignorance is bliss, most are in a blizzard. We ought to have compassion on the ignorant. Somebody's ignorantly carrying an NIV, don't know anything about it. Okay, we can have compassion on them and try to help them. Care for them. They're wanting somebody to love them. Passion or compassion. Passion, an honest to goodness belief in something. Do you believe in something? You see, people are looking for somebody who really believes in something. Having a passion about something. This book, the Word of God, most preachers don't think so. They're so flippant about it, they don't care. You ask them about the Bible, that's how it goes. You know, I think God inspired something somewhere, but I don't know where it's at. God inspired this book, and this book is preserved without error, and I got me a copy. And that book's got all the answers to all the questions posed by man. Having love or compassion for people is desiring the best for them. What's the best for them? A nice house? No. What's the best for them? A lot of people do mission work. What do? They take food and clothes, put some food in these people's belly, put some clothes on their back, and they don't tell them about Jesus Christ. That's not compassion. That's a PR program. If you have to choose between those two, let's put something in our heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where compassion is. Why you want the best for them? What's the best for a person? Getting saved and getting sanctified. Why sanctified? Because then at the judgment seat of Christ, you're best prepared for something to come out of this thing. That's what compassion love's all about. You see, that's what they're looking for. The Bible says in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay, so if our affection, our love, is set on things above, that produces the second thing that people are looking for, and that's joy. Now, I'm not saying that we can't enjoy the things down here, you know, sports or whatnot. I enjoy those things. But our affection should be set on things above. What you love is what you spend the most time with. So if we love the things of heaven, that will give us a joy. The apostles or the disciples were glad in Luke chapter 10 where it says that they rejoiced because the spirits were subject unto them. And Jesus Christ said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your name's written in heaven. That ought to make us happy. My name's written in heaven. I've got a reservation up there. I've trusted Christ for my Savior, and I've got my reservation in place. They're working on the mansion. He said, what if you can get a mansion? Still beats the alternative. They're working on a shack. Whatever they're working on for me. I mean, what a blessing. Getting a brand new body. No more sickness, no pain. Can eat anything you want. Don't have to worry about the preservatives and the everything involved in it. Don't gain any weight. That ought to give it, just that alone ought to give us some happiness. Joy and happiness. The world wants to see if you're happy. The fairy tales say, and they lived happily ever after. Now, when I say happy, I don't mean that you have to walk around with a plastic smile on your face, you know, like you're some politician in a parade waving at everybody trying to buy these votes. I'm not talking about a fake smile. That bird just bit the big one, didn't it? What did I hit? That was the Holy Ghost trying to come in here. But having a joy, having a happiness. You see, that's what people want. They want to see somebody who is happy. They enjoy their family instead of enduring their family. Go in your bedroom with your kids when they're sleeping at night. Go in there and look at them when they're sleeping. They're so peaceful. And just love them. Fall in love with them kids. I mean, if you have children, you have the most awesome responsibility. If you have a brand new baby, you've got a clean slate. Now you can start writing in that clean slate. And those kids, you need to love those kids and be a friend to them and to be a buddy with them. Obviously, there's a fine line of being a parent and a pal. But yet, love your children. Don't endure them. Enjoy them. You only get them for a few years. Enjoy your family. Enjoy what God's given you. Be happy about what God's done for you. That's what do you think the world's going to want what you have if you walk around, oh, things are so terrible? They don't want to hear that. Now, if you have the love, the compassion, and if you have the joy, the average person, they're going to say, well, boy, that guy's really, he's on to something. But I wonder if it's just a big show. I wonder what they're really like if they get tested. Well, let's just check this out. So they're going to start doing stuff. What for? Just for fun, to check you out. And that's where peace comes in play. When they pull your string, they're going to watch your reaction. And they're going to try to find the magical button to get you set off. And if you pass the test, then they're gonna have to back off and say, hey, this is real. But if you flunk, they are going to have the biggest laughs. Do you know why kids do prank phone calls? They love the reaction. I mean, when a person goes hysterical and they start yelling and screaming in the background, that's exactly what they wanted. That gets them the next time around. Let's do it again. Hey, is your refrigerator running? You better go out and catch it. I mean, that's all the things. I mean, hey, when you react the opposite of what they want, it ruins the whole prank phone call. And then you get the fun. We haven't had prank phone calls for a long time, man. We had so much fun with those things. I mean, now I'll probably start getting some from people here. Caller ID, I don't have that. Some operator's trying to sell me caller ID, and I told her I already had it. She said, you do? I said, yeah, you ask who it is. But Jen got a prank phone call from a girl one time, enjoyed it, got talking to the girl got saved over the phone. Ruined whole prank phone call. The world does that. They try to see what's going to set you off. Now, if they do something and you just relax or go with the punch, enjoy it, if they say, hey, Preacher Bob, how you doing? I'm doing fine, heathen Hank. What'd you call me that for? What'd you call that to me for? Come on, just enjoy life. Don't be so hypersensitive, you know? Come on. I mean, if they're going to pull something, just enjoy it. Some of you are out there, we were street preaching. We saw those last time we was out there street preaching, these three kids. They were mocking us, making fun of us, and all that stuff. And then they made these little signs, and they had Jesus heart you. And then they'd drive by several times, and they'd yell out, Jesus loves you. I thought that was so funny. I thought that was great. Can you imagine if those kids die and go to the white throne judgment? And the Lord says, at least you did one thing for me. You were doing it in joke and a jest, but I got that glory out of that, pal. Thank you very much. The world's checking. He's going to check you out. Where's your peace level? Do you have the peace of God? Oh, the economy. Forget it. Mark it down. Things are going to get worse before they get better. Ain't that real joyous? If you want to have a good day, turn off the news. Why waste time with the news? Peace. They're looking to see if you have some peace. Are you relaxed about things? Do you have the peace of God? Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. People talk about worrying. You should never worry about things that you cannot change. You should never worry about things you can change. Therefore, you shouldn't worry about anything. If you can change it, then change it. But if you can't, then don't worry about it. But you see, the peace of God. The standard reactions when the heathen or some person or a carnal Christian wants to test you, the standard reaction is anger, defense, panic. But when you just relaxed, got the joy of the Lord, it is when you pass the test on those things, it helps verify that what you have is real. You say, well, they really wronged me. Okay, do what you got to do to try to get it right, not for your sake, but for their sake. And you can do this very relaxed, don't have to get all bent out of shape, because you have faith in God. If somebody's wronged you, who's going to take care of it in the best fashion but God Almighty? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. That's how you demonstrate your faith more than anything. Somebody wronged you and it's a bad wrong. Okay, you follow the steps that you're supposed to as far as the law goes and as far as justice and judgment goes. But you can follow those things in a relaxed manner. And you just kind of scratch your head and say, what'd you say that for? See, that's where the peace of God comes in play. And if a person has love, caring for them, they have joy. And when they have tested you and they have harassed you and everything, when somebody dies in their family, they're going to come talking to you privately. And that's what you pray for them. In fact, you pray that God works in their life and he does what he has to do to get their attention, no matter what it is, whether it's laying them up in a hospital bed, getting them in desperate straits, whether it's bankruptcy, whatever it is, whatever it does to take them to become distressed, discouraged, or in debt, so they come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Because that's much more important. Eternal things are much more important than all these temporal stuff down here. Love, joy, and peace. First three, fruit of the Spirit. That's what the world's watching. That's what they're checking in us. And if a person has those three under the fruit of the Spirit, then you can be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. I pray you'd help us.